Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
Ed Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Dirt Sheet. The only place you need to be going for your pro wrestling news. We go and scour the globe every week for the best in the backstage shenanigans and whatnot in the pro wrestling world. And we conglomerate all the good ones here and we present them to you for your enjoyment.
Yes.
Yeah, we're available here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Also, anywhere fine podcasts are available, including the iTunes, where in the podcast... Have you noticed that I've stopped even shouting out the other ones because all I care about are those iTunes rankings? We are at Stitcher and Podbean and Google Play, iHeartRadio, stuff like that.
Eventually Spotify too, hopefully.
Yeah, we're getting there. But you know, if you're watching
iTunes
this,
is
you're watching
this, utmost importance.
It's utmost importance because it's easy to look at the rankings because I have an iPhone.
I don't.
Yeah. So anyways, hit that subscribe download button. Make Steve happy. We're also available at Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where in exchange for your support financially, you get various rewards.
You do.
For example, postcard.
T-shirt.
Live stream access.
Comic book.
Ability to ask questions on our Raw and SmackDown recap shows.
Correct.
No guarantee we're going to answer those questions, but you can ask them.
Yes. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw, where you can buy this awesome fun wrestling t-shirt.
Fantastic quality.
Yes.
This is for sale, but it's hidden. You have to find it somewhere. Not at Pro Wrestling Tees.
No.
I think we got like $2 for selling one of these this month.
Cool.
Yeah, not quite the bounty that's given us. Anyways, so this is the Dirt Sheet, so we got some news to report
on. Yeah,
let's
talk about the news.
The Wrestling Observer, a new issue of the Wrestling Observer. I highly recommend it.
Yes.
Dropped yesterday, and at that point, all the other internet dirt sheets start picking it apart and seeing what Dave Meltzer
has
to say.
Especially this story. This was like the lead story this morning on basically every wrestling website.
Remember when we went to WrestleMania a couple of years ago, and the main event was Lesnar versus Reigns?
Yeah.
Looks like we're going to get that next year, Larson.
Yes, because according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, that's the plan.
Yeah.
Is you know, Meltzer says right here, quote, "A lot of times people talk about how there's no long-term planning, but the WrestleMania 34 main event for April 8th, 2018 in New Orleans, which obviously could change, is set for Lesnar versus Reigns for the Universal title." So we saw this match 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Or will be three. Well, 2 years ago, actually. Yeah.
Not last year, but the year before.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Yeah. Three WrestleManias ago
coming up.
Yeah. It's a highlight for us because we were there.
Yeah.
They were telling a decent story.
Yeah.
Both guys were busting their tails to tell said story. But the most memorable aspect of it had not so much to do with the two participants as the guy who interjected himself into the match, namely Seth Rollins, who cashed in his Money in the Bank briefcase, walked out of WrestleMania 31 champion.
And we marked out big time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But apparently Vince is not satisfied with that, nor was he satisfied with Reigns headlining WrestleMania last year and beating Triple H for the world title.
In a pretty crap fest match.
Yeah, it was not a good match.
Not a good match.
Because the newsletter continues that there's, given that Reigns has taken on Undertaker this year, there's no guarantee that... There's no guarantee that Reigns will actually beat Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about whether this main event for next year makes it more or less likely in a second, or that Lesnar's going to hold on to the Universal title for the entirety of the entire year, 2017 plus a little bit 2018. But the goal is still to make Reigns the next John Cena.
He does also note that Lesnar is scheduled for more dates than usual this coming...
because last year of his contract.
It's last year of his contract. Is it December to December, or is it...
I think it's Mania to Mania. Mania.
Okay. So, yeah, he does note that he is scheduled for more dates this year. So that would make it possible that he would carry the belt all the way through past SummerSlam into the Royal Rumble, out of the Royal Rumble, and onto Mania. There is that possibility, and that would talk about legitimizing the belt at that point. We saw what happened before where he did basically part-time work with the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
And I think at the time I kind of poo-pooed it a little bit, but I saw the appeal of having your obviously most dominant character your biggest title. And
he did it from SummerSlam to Mania, so that would be about 8 months.
Right, exactly, yeah.
More or less.
And I thought that I thought that it kind of I think that for me it was too part time that we could have used a couple more. You know, when Naomi is stripped of her title because she can't defend it in 30 days, and Brock Lesnar's defending in every big four. I forget what it was. It was probably more than that. But I don't think it was once every 30 days.
No. I mean, ideally, it would be great if he at least could work pay-per-views, mm-hmm. or a majority of them,
mm-hmm.
and a couple Raws leading up to pay-per-views.
Well, let me ask you this, though. How do you feel about, now that we're firmly in the era of the new brand split, how do you feel about the Universal title being sort of the big money casual fan belt? And the world title being essentially the AJ Styles, Bray Wyatt, and now Randy Orton's about to take it, but that belt. I mean, I think it makes the idea of Lesnar Reigns at Mania 34 more palatable to me, because we have the lineage belt being passed on to like the actual wrestlers.
Yeah.
And in the end, I imagine, I don't know, 5-10 years from now, I imagine they're probably going to conglomerate the belts again.
Yeah, at some point.
They'll
merge the titles only to break them apart at another point, whatever they think benefits business and storylines.
Right. But if their thing in the Universal title is the title, that's what they're legitimizing as the big money belt. Then obviously you want your guy, you know, in our case is obviously AJ Styles, and we get a lot of jokes about that.
Yeah.
But AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, Finn Balor for me.
Samoa Joe.
Those guys. Samoa Joe.
Kevin Owens.
Yeah. We want to see the Universal title. We want to see whatever the WWE considers the best on our favorites.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, the putting the belt on a part-timer for any protracted period of time, it always brings up the issue, well, what about the guys who are there every day,
mm-hmm.
busting their asses to put on great shows, mm-hmm. great matches, and entertaining the fans? Like, don't they deserve the reward for doing that?
Yeah.
If they are day in and day out bringing in money for the company, not to say Lesnar doesn't, because he does,
mm-hmm.
At a certain point, when are these guys are there every day,
mm-hmm.
going to kind of get the reward in terms of holding the major titles. Now, I understand that with Lesnar holding the Universal title, if he's gone for months at a stretch, that increases the importance of the U.S. title.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But still, the U.S. title is not a world title. Well, you can increase the prominence of that belt, but it's, you know, you can get pretty close, like in New Japan, where the IC title and the world title are kind of neck and neck in terms of prominence.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when you have that belt and it says World Heavyweight Champion on it.
Yeah,
it just kind of seems like it just gives it a little bit more importance.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think let's go to the Reigns aspect of this. Number one, when Meltzer says, I'm not sure if he's speaking tongue in cheek here when he says a lot of times people talk about how there's no long term planning. That's true. People talk about that. We talk about that.
Yeah,
is simply saying, I want Lesnar v. Reigns at Mania 34. That's not necessarily long-term planning.
That's because
the plan is a series of moves to get from point A to point B.
What Vince is saying is he wants a certain result.
Exactly, yeah. The long-term result will be that. In terms of the plan, I'd like to know what they have, because here's my thing. Now, I'll relate this to the recent developments with Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. We think that SmackDown, by and large, has a firmer grasp on interesting storytelling.
Yes.
And so we were pretty disappointed when Randy Orton came out on SmackDown this past week and basically laid out the most boring plan that he had as a character to do whatever it is he's done to Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, but still unclear what his exact end game is. Break up the Wyatts, win the belt, both, either.
Like
he mentioned both, kind of, but it was never really clear what his end game was.
Take his powers away.
Yeah.
But I don't know why he couldn't even just gone to the compound. I mean, so we were kind of, that was kind of muddied. But do you think that, here's the thing, Reigns, I could be totally on board with this if they booked him right. And we've said this many times. We're not anti-Roman Reigns. We're anti the way he's been booked.
We said this ad nauseum.
And there's, especially with the Randy Orton thing, there's sort of the inclination that I have to think that, man, we're looking at 52 more weeks of ending every single Raw with Roman Reigns' music, with him destroying tag teams tag team champions, 2-on-1.
Yeah.
With him overcoming every every hurdle, every obstacle with ease. That's the big thing, with ease.
And here's another thing that the Observer newsletter mentions. Quote, the plan is to once again build for a year and have a big coronation at WrestleMania, which that's what I thought was supposed to happen last year. The idea between, I know it was originally supposed to happen. The original plan, I'm 100% sure, Lesnar beats The Undertaker, takes the streak. Build up Lesnar to be this dominant force. Reigns comes along and is the guy to beat Lesnar and effectively take the streak and the title. That was all supposed to happen at WrestleMania 31. Right. Crowd shit all over it.
Yeah.
That wasn't going to happen. So Rollins was the plan B. They had him show up the end of Mania, cash in, win the title, crowd pop, everybody goes home happy. But now it looks like they just want to do this again 2 years or 3 years later. The idea, back to the newsletter, the idea between now and then is for Reigns to be the face. So for the next year, he is going to be a face, according to the newsletter. No heel turn. Not just
well. Hold on. Whoa. No. The idea between now and then is for Reigns to be the face, but to fully replace John Cena as the lead babyface of the company. So that doesn't.
To me, that doesn't sound like there's a heel turn planned. That's what it sounds like.
Well,
to me,
that doesn't sound like they're. To me, that doesn't say one way or the other. It's just the idea between now.
Is for Reigns to be the face. The face in. On Raw, the face on Raw.
Okay, no, you're right about that.
Not just when he wins the title, so no heel turn, then face turn to win the title, but to fully replace John Cena as lead babyface of the company. Here's the thing, though. We said this several times. I feel like we've had this conversation several times.
Oh, we have, many times.
Many times. John Cena is a once-in-a-generation talent.
Yes.
I mean, he's good in the ring, great on the mic, tons of charisma, works his ass off.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do that.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if Vince... He hears the reaction Reigns gets, which is mixed and loud. And he thinks, well, Cena gets the same reaction, so why can't Reigns be Cena? Without thinking, oh, it took Cena many years of getting over organically to get to be the top guy in the company, and then there was a backlash against his character, somewhat tongue-in-cheek to a certain extent, I think. And so that's why he has mixed reactions. He has earned... that mixed reaction because he has a legacy.
Well, and
Reigns does not have that legacy.
And that's the thing is that Cena, you know, you're right about that. Cena, it's obvious, Cena got there, number one, being a heel that became so overly popular because of his natural, just off-the-charts charisma that he had no choice but to turn into a mega babyface. The crowd got him there because the crowd was naturally reacting to him, so they started booking him in that manner. Same with Steve Austin. They wanted him to be a heel. And the crowd didn't accept it, so they had to give him basically a tweener thing.
Yeah, I mean, you would think, based on history, it would be plainly obvious that you can't manufacture a guy in the company.
Is that the thing? Is this hubris? Is this arrogance thinking, well, I made Hogan, I made Austin, I made Cena, I can make Roman. But if you think about it, think about three names over the course of 30 years. Who is the lead? Who is the?
Well, include The Rock on that list, too.
Okay, yeah, The Rock. Who was the, I'm thinking like the three biggest draws.
Yeah, yeah. In the eras of the company, yes.
Because Austin was a bigger draw than The Rock.
Yeah.
Who was the lead babyface? Who was the John Cena? Who was the John Cena character between 1993 when Hogan left and 1997, late 97, when Austin really blew up?
It was Bret Hart.
Okay, is he a John Cena type character? No, he's not. Nowhere clear. I have no idea what the numbers are, but I will guarantee you right now, Bret Hart was nowhere near the draw that John Cena was. They don't just happen. You can't just take one of your guys and make that. It doesn't work that way.
No, you can take one of your guys and push him to be a top guy, but you can't just take a guy and say, this is the guy that's going to be our next John Cena, our next Austin.
John Cena won his first...
That has to happen organically.
John Cena won his first WWE World title in 2005.
That's what I was saying,
too.
Off
of JBL 21. I was there.
Yeah.
But Austin
left...
Austin left. Yeah, it took 3 years.
From his debut to win that title,
So in between Austin and Cena, there was Kurt Angle. There was Benoit Guerrero. There was Lesnar. It was a very much a group effort.
Yeah.
I feel like right now should be group effort time.
Yes.
Because you have, and on top of that, like similar to 2002, that time, the beginning of the Ruthless Aggression, end of Attitude Era, you had an ensemble cast of some of the greatest wrestlers on the planet because of the WCW thing.
I know. Right now, the depth of the roster...
off the charts.
...is fantastic.
It's amazing.
And if you know you're lacking that transcendent talent, mm-hmm. like a Cena, like mm-hmm. an Austin, like a Rock, like a Hogan, then you have to rely on the group effort. And they have the ingredients in place right now to do that and make mm-hmm. it awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then you can still rely on part-timers like Goldberg and Lesnar to bring in casuals, expose them to your guys, to your ensemble cast. And yeah, you, and in that case, like when Ryback says things like, we don't want to know, when he says the WWE, when Triple H says to him, allegedly, this is what Ryback said, that we don't want another John Cena type guy. Well, obviously, they do want, everybody wants a John Cena type guy because he sells merchandise left and right. He's a yeah. big crossover appeal guy.
Yeah.
But you don't have to rely on one guy. Like, you have amazing talent in your company, and everybody can play that role in the play. And it makes me wonder, I'm really, really fascinated to know what would be the Triple H standpoint here.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously he has a heavy hand in running the company. Obviously, Vince still controls big picture. He wants to make Reigns the guy. I'm still fascinated by the fact that his coronation at WrestleMania last year was... like Triple H put on such a crap fest match with him, because I feel like Triple H could have brought him.
Yeah.
Like Reigns can be brought to a really, really great match.
I'm wondering if your theory is true that Triple H was like, all right, here's your platform, Reigns. Step up. Earn it. Yeah, step up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because that Dean Ambrose match
was really good at Roadblock.
Really good. Yeah. And there's a difference there, because Dean Ambrose spent years bleeding all over the place in CZW. And I would think that Triple H would respect the shit out of where Dean's coming from, and respect the shit out of the fact that Dean Ambrose at least expresses a desire to be creative, to do his own promos and all that kind of stuff. I would think that Triple H likes Dean Ambrose in that respect.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that's so frustrating. You and I both know this. There is a way to get Roman Reigns over in a massive way.
Yeah.
But they seem to be so against pulling the trigger on it, and instead ramming this down our throats. Now, if the idea is, well, there's a minority that is doing the booze, that because we look at his merchandise sales and they're off the charts.
Like, I wonder if his reactions at house shows are different.
I mean, he got a good reaction 2 years ago when I saw him at Sacramento.
Yeah, maybe you said that. His match with The Undertaker would be very telling in terms of what they have maybe in store for him in the year to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he goes to WrestleMania, Reigns, that is, beats The Undertaker, he's going to get booed out of that stadium. And I don't know how you can pivot from that while keeping Reigns' face and try to get him over massively.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's possible.
I agree. And on top of that, it's like, Vince is rightly been, you know, credited with knowing talent when he sees it. You know, I mean, if there was no Vince, you know, without Vince's blessing, there would have never been a Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, he understands. He looks at John Cena. Anybody that can see in here can see the huge... John Cena walks into a ring after getting a 50-50 boo and cheer reaction. He steps in the ring and at will... he gets every single person in that arena loving him.
Mm-hmm.
He's done that to me personally when I'm there in person watching him, because I'll boo the shit out of him.
Well, I said earlier, I think part of the fun of going to a live show when Cena there is just booing him, not because you actually dislike him.
Yeah.
It's a way to be involved in the show.
Exactly.
And since you know that, as you just said, he could turn it around like that, and also he's cool with it.
You know he's going to charm the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so it's like a challenge. Okay, let's boo him and see if we can get him off his game a little bit.
Yeah.
I respect John Cena's legacy. I have no problem with him.
Yeah.
I love going to a show and seeing John Cena sucks because it's fun. I don't think he sucks. He's pretty good at what he does.
He's damn good at what he does. And it's like, but you see a John Cena promo and then you see a Roman Reigns promo, and granted, he's getting better.
Yeah.
Like he's able to maneuver the boos that he gets. That's not John Cena is a transcendent talker. It's him, Rock, Austin as the three best talkers ever. They could do whatever they want with a crowd. You see Stone Cold's documentary on the network and you see his transition into his post wrestling career when he was being the GM and how much fun he was having with the crowd. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants with the crowd. The Rock is the exact same way. The only thing those two guys can't really do at this point is be heel.
Yeah.
Because nobody will ever treat The Rock like he's in heel. He's the fucking biggest movie star on the planet. Yep. There's a thing about wrestling fans, I think, when The Rock, who is now the biggest action movie star on the planet, graces us with his presence that we have no, you know, that I'm saying wrestling fans in general, me not really, because I was totally anti-Rock during the first Cena thing, probably in the second Cena thing because I was a huge CM Punk fan. But at the same time, it's The Rock. I went to go see San Andreas.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible movie, but my God, it was fun because of The Rock.
Yeah.
So, but I look at all those guys and then I look at Roman Reigns and I'm like, dude, there's 20 other people on the roster who can talk better than you.
Oh, yeah.
Noam Dar can talk better than him. I know. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, there are guys, and he just forgot his line on 205 Live. There are so many other guys who just have it more than Roman Reigns. And granted, he's a great-looking individual.
Yeah, you can tell he busts his ass in the ring. He tries. And he works hard.
He can be good on the mic.
Yeah.
But, man, he is nowhere close to being nearly as good as Bray Wyatt, even Randy Orton. Dean Ambrose, who's Xavier Woods on the mic.
It's fantastic.
Sami Zayn even on the mic. Yeah, Kevin Owens. Himself. Kevin Owens on the mic. Chris Jericho on the mic. He's nowhere even close to him. And that's what you need. You need a guy who can be brought to a... Look, Roman Reigns can be brought to a great match. He's brought to two of them with AJ Styles.
Yeah.
A couple other guys.
Well, his last match with Lesnar at WrestleMania was good.
Yeah, it was.
They were telling an interesting story.
We were there, and it was like, okay, this is going to be interesting because they haven't let these guys. That was the one where they did that cheesy, like, let's play tug-of-war.
Yeah, with the belt.
The build-up was terrible. Yeah. But then they get in the ring with each other. And it's like, okay, this is going to be interesting from a booking standpoint. How are they going to do this? And then you see Brock Lesnar start to toss around Roman Reigns, but Roman Reigns gets up from it, and he's got those obstacles that finally he's overcoming. Whereas, like, these days, you know, he goes up against Braun Strowman, pins him clean.
Yeah.
He takes on the tag team champs, the club, you know, kills both of those guys. So it feels like the obstacles are getting less and less difficult for Roman Reigns as we go along. And that's not going to cut it if you want him to be the next Cena. He needs to get beat up.
That's what I'm thinking. Then if at WrestleMania Reigns loses to The Undertaker, maybe we'll actually get that story where he's struggling.
There would be some, I think, from the people who are booing Roman Reigns right now, there would at least be a measure of respect for the guy if he lays down for The Undertaker. And we know that it's not his call to make, but if he loses to The Undertaker and even maybe tries to carry Taker, who seems to be in terrible shape, to a decent match and tells a good story. This is going to be a storytelling match if they do it right, if they know what they're doing. If they tell a good story and Reigns eats a pin, which, God, we know that's probably not going to happen, then at least people have respect for the guy because he lost. Because when he says, I'm going to retire, Undertaker, you can't fucking say that yet. You don't have the credibility to say that.
Well, he can't say that as a face.
Yeah, I know.
If he were a heel,
I know.
Totally fine.
It'd be fantastic. It'd be great. But we're not living in that country.
No.
We're not living in that particular alternate universe.
No.
So I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. It will definitely be. We already see this weird sort of almost this sort of dichotomy going on within the WWE when you see ideas that are clearly Vince's.
Yes.
That are clearly, or look, if it's not Vince, it's clearly of a time when Vince was firmly in control. And then you have like this Triple H thing happening where really cool things sort of happen. You know, you get like NXT booking, which is always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then you've got like the shit that's kind of off the radar. That's always really kind of fun.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's going to be the next 12 months are going to be interesting to see which one plays out. But it could potentially be incredibly boring to see Roman Reigns headlining Raw every single week, music closing with him and people booing him, regardless of who he's up against.
I know.
And if Vince will get a clue, he's the guy in charge.
I know.
If he'll get a clue, I have no idea. But we'll see.
I really wonder, and I've said this before, I think, what would have happened when the Shield broke up if instead of Seth joining the Authority, if it were Roman, then he could have got that arc. He could have got the build him up as the heel. The heel people are starting to really appreciate his work. The heel people are actually kind of starting to like.
Yeah.
Turn him face. That's the formula.
And they can.
That's usually the formula. It's the guy who starts as a heel, does his job so well, the crowd starts to appreciate him.
You have the Batista blueprint already in place. Do that. Instead of doing the cowardly heel like you did with Seth, do the Frankenstein's monster thing, and then Frankenstein starts to develop a brain and turns on his master. That's the blueprint you follow right there. And then he'd be super over.
Yeah.
So, but they didn't go that way. Instead, we got a really, really great Seth Rollins. Well, I'm not going to say it was a great title run.
He did great work.
It wasn't
a great title run, but he did really good work.
Yeah, he did really, really good work. It always boggled my mind. I'm like, it's obvious. Like, every single match he's in, he's like a superior opponent. But then, for whatever reason, he always has to cheat to get out of things. It didn't make any sense.
It didn't.
Yeah. Moving along.
Well, speaking of a competitor who we think should be taking on Brock Lesnar for the Universal title at some point.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
In 2017. I think it's pretty obvious at some point very soon he's going to be headed to the main roster. And Triple H on Wednesday tweeted out a promotional poster for this summer's NXT United Kingdom tour.
Mm-hmm.
Going down June 5th through 11th. And there was one NXT superstar who's very noticeably not on that poster.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Correct. So, of course, people online were speculating like mad that this was a clear sign that he was on his way to the main roster between now and then.
Right.
So in the newsletter this week, Meltzer said, quote, right now the plan is for Nakamura to debut on the main roster very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm not sure what the date will be, but the likely scenario is he loses to Bobby Roode at TakeOver and starts immediately after with Raw after WrestleMania being a good bet.
And it's interesting that he specifies Raw after WrestleMania. I wonder if he just sort of tossed that up out of nowhere, or if we are going to see a Raw with Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho.
Brock Lesnar. Undertaker when he wants to show up.
Goldberg when he shows up.
Yeah.
Assuming that might
be. That's the top of the card.
Yeah.
That's packed.
Yeah.
Now on SmackDown.
And Brock Lesnar's going to have that Universal title for a year.
I know. It doesn't make any sense.
Nobody else is going to have a title. Who's the current U.S. champion? Oh, Chris Jericho.
Yeah. Owens will have that belt by after the end of Payback, that show.
Yeah.
Owens will have the belt. Whereas on SmackDown, we have AJ,
Cena. Oh, and if the rumor is true.
That Vince wants AJ on Raw.
Yeah.
Assuming that's the case, and you have Randy, Bray,
Cena's
going to
be gone for how long?
Ambrose, and they'll push Baron Corbin to the top of the card. That's the top of the card on SmackDown.
Baron Corbin, your new WWE World Champion. What if he gets both the Intercontinental and the World Championship?
That'd be awesome.
Very likely. Yeah, I know. Something has to give here.
Yes.
Something has to give. We're going to do a count out this weekend where we talk about the 10 wrestlers who could most use a brand change.
Yes.
And we'll discuss a bit more of this.
I assume with the draft, which I'm guessing will probably happen roughly around the same time it did last year, so mid-July, I want to say.
Dude, I don't know, man. If Shinsuke, okay, so... Cage Side Seats had their rumor roundup today.
Yes.
And they talked about...
I might as well segue to this.
They talked about... Yeah, this is all sort of related in terms of placement on rosters. And they said... So one thing, there was a roster trade Vince McMahon is apparently interested in seeing involving AJ moving to Raw while the New Day heads to SmackDown. Now, we actually like both those moves. We really like New Day to SmackDown. I think it'd be fresh. I think it'd be good.
Yes, I think the writers on SmackDown come up with some really interesting stuff for the New Day to do.
Because it's obviously they have exhausted everything for them.
Pretty
to
much.
Do on
and
Raw.
Then the New Day to SmackDown would really kickstart the SmackDown tag division.
Which really needs.
Yes.
Yeah, it really needs. And especially if you then bring up DIY or The Revival to SmackDown, you know, either one or both, probably one.
Yeah, if you have The Revival, New Day, American Alpha, and the Usos.
Mm-hmm.
That's the start of a really, really good tag division.
Yeah, you're good. Then you can maybe start developing some of your other tag teams.
Yeah.
The Fashion Police. But then if that involves AJ moving to Raw, well, then we really need to start talking about some of these other guys that are on Raw moving back over to SmackDown. And I honestly think, We have a list.
We can kind of talk about it in generalities.
Yeah, Roman Reigns needs to be on SmackDown.
He really should.
I think that would be. We'll talk about that on SmackDown. But that's one of the ideas.
Yeah.
Because dude, you have to relieve some of the pressure. There's so much main event talent there.
I know.
On Raw, and so much of it is being underserved. It's like there's only so much you could do.
There's about 11 names you listed off there. Top of the card Raw talent.
Because Jericho apparently is not even going to be gone that long.
No.
He's going to be gone. And he's going to come back
most of May and a little bit of June, I think.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, and then he's back.
So of those, say there's 11 on Raw and 5 on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
At least 3 have to move from Raw, so it's 8 and 8.
Yeah.
at least three.
Even what, 9 and 11? Wait, what would it be?
It'd be 9 and 10.
9 and 10. Even 9 and 10. I remember Raw's a 3-hour show.
Oh wait, no. I say 5 and 11.
5 and 11. You move two over, it'd be 9 and 7.
Yeah.
9 and 7. You could do 9 and 7.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. And that's including like bringing AJ over to Raw and then, you know.
And that's just the top of card. I didn't even talk about mid card.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Which is a whole other issue.
I mean, that's going to be the thing, man. If Lesnar's going to have this belt for a year.
You have, 10 people fighting over the U.S. title?
Right. I mean, they really need to load up their writing staff to, like, write some really... Interesting. I think they can do it. They could totally do it. You don't need a title for everybody. Everybody doesn't need to be chasing a title.
I know.
You can have plenty of stories without titles. And you have so much talent to be doing that with, you know? It's like, look at the Attitude Era. So much talent. And they had the IC title, which oddly wasn't even utilized that much. You know, like they would just.
It was a huge part of Austin, The Rock's feud.
Early Attitude.
And The Rock and Triple H.
Yeah, Triple H. But then after that, what? It was Ken Shamrock. It was Val Venus. It was Goldust. It was Godfather. It was all those guys who never, like we all knew, there's enough talent up at the top. Godfather's never really going to be a world title guy. Val Venus is never going to be a world title guy. But there was a firm, solid, very, very stout mid-card that was going after that IC belt. But at the top, you had Undertaker, Austin, Mankind, Rock.
Kane.
Triple H, after a little while, Kane. So you had all those guys, and they all would play round robin with that belt, and it was fine because we all knew that talent was good enough to hold that belt. And more importantly, the stories dictated all that stuff.
That's the most important thing.
It made sense for Austin to sort of kick things off after he won it from HBK. And then it made sense from The Rock or, you know, then Undertaker and Kane got involved. And it made sense for Kane to take it. But we knew that it wasn't because Kane was better than Austin. Austin got screwed. And then it made sense for The Rock to have it because he was the corporate champion. So everything made sense.
And it
made
sense for Foley to get it from The Rock. And they traded a couple times.
Exactly.
Before Austin got it back at WrestleMania 15.
And meanwhile, underneath that, you still had all those guys fighting and having stories for themselves. And it was all very entertaining.
Yeah.
And that's what you can do now. It's just, you know, you have Sami Zayn sort of not doing anything.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's like, where do you go from here with Samoa Joe? And then, you know, there could be some really intriguing things if they do actually set up this new Evolution faction that we've sort of talked about.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of really interesting potential storylines there. It's just, man, Raw has not been solid on telling their stories.
No, that's not the show typically that you rely on to tell quality stories. One thing to note about AJ moving brands.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, take this with a grain of salt because it always says in these things, card is subject to change. Mm-hmm. There's a house show in Stockton the same day that Raw is here in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And listed on there, on the ad I got for it, was AJ Styles mm-hmm. saying that he was going to be at that show.
Yeah.
That's May 1st. Mm-hmm. Again, card is always subject to change.
Yeah.
So I know we thought about this, we talked about it on our SmackDown episode, whether the AJ's current storyline with Shane and him being fired was going to lead to him going to Raw literally after WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
Cage Side Seats had that as well. Yeah.
But you poo-pooed the idea.
Oh, I poo-pooed the idea. Yeah, it didn't. Here's one of those things. You have to. I get caught so much in. So the Randy Orton thing really bummed me out because it was like, okay, they're really just going down predictable path right now. Raw has been predictable path for quite a little while.
Oh, yes.
Now, you know? And so I am so averse to them doing anything that is going to throw us a curveball that I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
You know, I know the Raw after Mania is always a spectacular one. And so I'd be really, really into that. I do. I want them to shake things up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I
yeah.
want them to shake things up. So it's like this right here, the Styles' current storyline with Shane McMahon might be the reason he's moved to Monday nights. That sounds more like speculation as opposed to, you know, because it does make some measure of sense. He's on the alumni section.
I know.
You know, so it does. Yes, it does make some measure of sense. I would love to see a reunion between him and the club. I would love to see AJ Styles versus Finn Balor. Who wouldn't want to see that? That's a story that you don't need a belt to tell.
I know. But at the same time, if you're moving another top star from SmackDown, whose roster is already not deep enough,
mm-hmm.
to Raw, a roster that's already stacked,
mm-hmm. Well, that's why you move two guys who aren't Roman Reigns and... I'm sorry. You move two guys who aren't Finn Balor.
And AJ.
And AJ, SmackDown, yeah, I know. To SmackDown, exactly. So you can have Finn Balor versus AJ. I mean, because there's... Look, here's the thing. Raw right now is because of the Lesnar thing. If Lesnar is... Look, regardless, we know Lesnar's going to win. So Lesnar's going to have that Universal title. At the very least, he's going to keep it till SummerSlam.
Yes.
You know, if what he's saying right here is Roman Reigns... By the way, they would be really wise to keep Roman Reigns away from the Universal title for the entirety of the year until the Rumble and not have him win the Rumble. Do some shenanigans like they did with SmackDown. The
yeah.
convoluted way to get there.
Yeah.
Because yeah, nobody wants to see him win the Rumble again.
No.
He doesn't fit well with the Rumble.
No.
So,
It's funny, though, because at times...
So, but what I was going to
say... Oh, sorry,
not,
yeah,
not to cut you off, but what I was going to say was... I was reiterating something. Finn Balor, AJ Styles, The Club. That's a story you can tell without a belt.
Yes.
So you need to find more stories like that. Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens and Triple H all in a faction with each other. You bring Pete Dunne as a future guy, and they can maybe... Kevin Owens is going to have the Universal title.
U.S. title.
I'm sorry, the U.S. title. And so that can be one center of a storyline involving four or five guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then you're left with like, you got like Braun Strowman, who could probably kick it over to SmackDown, or Sami Zayn, who could definitely kick it over to SmackDown. And you have stories that, yeah, the Universal title has a belt, but you're dealing with like four or five guys there, you know? And so you need creative ways of taking large groups of people and writing them into stories, and it's totally possible.
Yeah, I just want to kind of circle back to the Reigns conversation, because you brought up the Rumble. It reminded me of something. That they had Reigns come out at number 30 to get heat, so when Orton eliminated him, he would get a face pop. So like at times they seem completely aware of Reigns' positioning in the company.
Yeah.
And then you read stuff like this that at least Vince, either he ignores it or he's oblivious, or he thinks that he has the magic touch that can counter all that. I don't know which one it is though.
I would think it's the latter wouldn't surprise me. The magic touch thing wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if it was one of those things where one day you talk to him, you're like one of the writers or whatever, you talk to him and he says, he acknowledges, I'm having a hard time getting that crowd behind him. And then the next day, it's as if none of that ever happened. And Vince, because he's old and been doing this a lot and he's running too fast and too hard because he's old, he says,
or it could even just
we're going to have Lesnar versus Reigns.
It could even just be a thing where he says that to a writer. It's like, man, I'm having a hard time getting Reigns over. And then the next day he can get a spreadsheet with merchandise sales and sees that Reigns is fourth or something on it. And thinks, okay, well, people are vocal.
In their
disapproval of Reigns or Reigns' positioning. But despite that,
they're voting with their wallets.
Yep.
Yeah, totally. We got some mail.
We do.
Larson, we got some mail. We're going to open up some mail right now. You guys can send up some stuff at P.O. Box 1814, Orangevale, California, 95662. That address is in the description as well. We've got this set. We got, I wore that Scott Steiner shirt that one of our friendos sent us the other day.
Yeah.
That's comfy as heck.
You've been saying
that. Say what you will about the big bad booty daddy. He's got some comfy shirts.
Good, there's a letter in here.
Who's that from?
Hold on a second. Oh, man, that's cool.
What is that?
It's an Eddie Guerrero toy.
Oh, look at that. It's Uncle Eddie. Nice. Man, that's I missed awesome. The days when he was a world champ.
I know. This is from Dominic Hilberg. Dear Stephen Larson, I want to thank you for really contributing to my renewed love of wrestling over the past year. I started watching wrestling when I was 9 and watched pretty consistently up until the last few years of high school, and never really watched through my college years until about a year ago. And I have to say that I am a bigger fan of wrestling now than I ever was back then. And I have y'all and the What Culture guys to thank for it.
What Culture?
I work a desk job at a place that is never incredibly busy, so your content really helps me get through the slog of a workday. Moving out of a college house in a few months to my first apartment, and I just got to get rid of some of my stuff. And I thought you guys might like this Eddie Guerrero WrestleMania 21 figure. I've had this for over 10 years now, and it's always served as a friendly reminder of the time when I played WWE video games religiously and thought that getting a hug from Rob Van Dam at a live event was the best moment of my life.
Aww.
Hope you guys like the figure. It doesn't matter to me whether you keep it in the box or not. Botch two sweets to each of you. Keep up the awesome content. Dominic Hilberg. Thank you very much,
Dominic. Thank you, Dominic. This one's from Kevin F. It says, hey, Stephen Larson, just wanted to say been a fan for a while now and love all the content on your channel. Can't think of anything else to say other than I've already said, other than what others have already said. Anyway, the figures are from a lot I won in an auction and figured you guys would like some of them. Also, the big figure is a wrestler by the name of Corporal Kirshner. Had to look him up, and his wiki is kind of interesting. The female figure is one of the Bellas. Also, the artwork and Bray Wyatt plaque were done by my younger sister, who likes your podcast. Oh, that's so nice. Side note, Steve is wearing the Golden Corral wrestling shirt in the art because one of the Tangents jokes he makes of the podcast a few weeks ago. So I hope you guys like everything and can't wait to see what you guys do in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Let's see what we got here.
All right, let's see what we got. Kane!
Giant Kane.
Kane! Well, I got a couple of little tiny ones here. What is this? Cena? Roman? I like this. This is good. It's a translucent ghost Cena.
Well, that's interesting.
It's translucent Cena. Is that Corporal Kirshner right there?
Yeah. That must be Jedi ghost Cena.
Yeah. And there's a little tiny Roman Reigns, speak of the devil. And who is this? Oh, and a little tiny Kofi Kingston. SOS, that does not look like Kofi Kingston.
Oh, man, this is awesome. Got a bunch more cards to
Oh, nice! To use. Are any of the cards as good as Dog Steiner?
Well, let me get through them.
We'll find out. Look at this old school Undertaker.
Oh, that's cool.
That's fantastic.
Back when he had the red hair still.
The Undertaker. Here, he's hanging out with his buddy. Kane. Oh, look at this.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's so cool. It says, follow the buzzards.
That is cool.
Oh, that's so cool. It's Bray Wyatt. Look at that. It's a little piece of a little craft thing right there. That's so cool. But it's right here. That's really neat. Oh, look at this.
Hey, yo.
It's a Razor Ramon action figure. I like these little ones. Let's see here. Oh, man, these are cool. Look at that. Sting?
Oh, man.
These are freaking vintage, man.
Daniel Bryan?
D. Bryan. Hairy bastard. That's great.
Man, these cards are great.
Look at those little... I think I have the other one of those. I think this is... Is this Brie or Nikki?
I don't know.
I think that's Nikki because she has like the sports thing. Or maybe that's Brie. I don't know. I got one of the other ones. Let's see what else is here. Oh, look at that. WWF Funniest Moments.
Oh, cool. That's do a review of that.
Socko. Ooh, I have a PS2. We can play Legends of Wrestling.
Yeah, I have that too. Awesome. Or a PS2.
And then look at this guy from Pop. The Nature Boy.
Woo!
Ric Flair. Aw, look at this. This is so sweet.
There's two Steiner Brothers cars in here. Neither of them have dogs on them.
It says Chibi Chibi Kaiju 2017. I don't know what that means, but that's cool.
That is awesome.
It's you and me. I'm going to put that right freaking here, man.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Right that's there. So awesome.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much. That's really cool. I wish he told me his sister's name. He didn't tell me his sister's name. I'll have to have Kevin F. and say, what's your sister's name? And then we got these right here. Oh, look at that. Wrestling 85.
Oh, man.
And Wrestling 85. Look at Dusty.
That is so cool.
Oh, man. That is so rad. We're going to have to do some, like, some reviews on these or something. Those are so cool. Kevin F. and your sister, thank you so much. That is so awesome. We really appreciate that stuff.
That stack of cards.
Oh, look at Norman Smiley on the top right here. That's fantastic.
That is awesome. All right, you want to answer some questions?
Let's answer some questions.
Go ahead, Steve.
Fat bastard world champion Yoko Bundy. Seeing Shawn Michaels on Raw got me thinking how great his second run with the WWE was. Who you guys think or wanted a wrestler to have another second great run? Who would you guys want to see have another second great run in the WWE? Kurt Angle would be Yoko Bundy's. If he returned a couple of years ago, he would have loved to have seen him go up against CM Punk when he was the champion.
CM Punk's a good answer for this question.
CM Punk, I want a second run from CM Punk. That's what I want. Absolutely.
Trying to think of anybody else.
I mean, we're kind of low on the list of people who have left and even can return. Like, people have sort of said, Kurt Angle's kind of the last big return.
What? Drew Galloway.
I mean, say Drew Galloway. Oh, no, I would. Yeah, totally. That'd be great.
He seems to have really kind of come into his own.
He sort of found his shit. Yeah, totally.
The Ghost of Ulysses.
In 2 years, it'll be Cody Rhodes.
Yes, the Ghost of Ulysses. What do you guys think is going to happen with Bray, Luke, Randy, and possibly Eric Rowan in the next weeks of SmackDown before WrestleMania?
Nothing interesting, man. Do you think that we're... Okay, let me ask you this then. Do you think we're going to get the... like I would just answer it as Bray and then... Anyways, do you think we're going to get the Reform Wyatt family going into WrestleMania, or are we going to see the Reform Wyatt family at WrestleMania?
Well, like I said during at the during our SmackDown episode, kind of the last thing I want to see is kind of the status quo, whereas the heel Wyatt family reformed and a face Orton as champion with nothing really to do afterwards.
Mm-hmm, I know.
That's, I don't want to see that.
I know, me neither.
Like if Randy in the end turns heel, he leads the Wyatt family now, kicks Bray out.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Yeah, there's storyline potential there.
I know.
I just want something interesting to happen.
If at the end of Mania we see Randy standing tall with Harper and Rowan. Rowan apparently is clear to wrestle. Yeah. He's been backstage.
I mean, the Harper and Rowan are going to get involved in Mania somehow.
You think so?
That's in some capacity.
You think so, right?
Yeah.
You think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether to help Bray or to help defeat him, I don't know yet.
Cactus Ben. Hey, Stephen Larson. I've been Patreoning you for a couple of months. Thank you. But this is his first question. In a business where the entire purpose of the fights is to try to gain an emotional reaction from fans by having somebody the fans want to win and somebody the fans want to lose, WWE finds himself in a strange new era where traditional heels are cheered by older, quote, smart fans, but still booed by younger fans. Do you think WWE's reaction and answer to this is to purposely create face characters which are loved by younger fans but hated by older fans? In other words, do you think WWE are purposely manufacturing Roman Reigns to be hated by the smarter fans so when he goes against a heel they actually like it, allows the fans to be still emotionally invested?
It's interesting
It's an interesting
theory.
Take on it. Yeah, it's an interesting theory. I mean, that would definitely explain the Roman Reigns phenomenon. Why they send him out there specifically because they know he's going to get a heel reception. He's going to get, you know, it's going to make Randy Orton look better winning the Rumble.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're still shoving us down our throats. I mean, it's kind of like, why would you have your hero lose in his hometown every single time?
I know.
You know what I mean?
That's weird.
They do weird shit.
Yeah.
I think it's just they do weird shit. And that's the thing. I think that the WWE is going to have such a hard time progressing with Vince still running things. You know what I mean? Like, there does seem to be an element of they sometimes act out of touch and they sometimes act like they know exactly what they're doing.
I know. And I wonder if there's kind of a push and pull either externally or internally for Vince where, you know, whether forces within WWE are trying to push the company forward or if he at times has that inclination himself versus, you know, Vince has been in the industry a long time, long time.
Yeah.
And if part of him still says, well, no, in the end of the day, we still have to do things the way we used to.
Mm-hmm.
We need clear-cut heels, clear-cut faces.
Yeah.
You know? So any ambiguity or any sort of interesting storyline that might run counter to that, he just, in the end, won't do, despite maybe at a certain point saying, all right, let's give this a try.
But then it goes by his weird moral compass. Like, Randy Orton burning a man's house down is totally a face thing to do. You know,
doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's like, I get it. Austin was like the super over face guy, but he was a tweener and like, I don't know.
Well, then the person he was combating.
Yeah.
You know, there was no mistake about it.
Yeah.
Mr. McMahon was an asshole.
Yeah, totally.
And granted now, you know, after Randy burnt down his house, we learn now that Bray Wyatt is essentially imbued with the powers of the devil by Bray's own words. So I guess retroactively, it justifies what Randy did, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But that's... Even that's kind of nebulous.
Mm-hmm.
He burned down someone's house. That's concrete.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real. He should face repercussions because of that.
There is. It is so weird. Like, you know, at the end of the day, you got to say just how weird wrestling is.
Oh, it's super weird.
Think about it. Bray Wyatt is claiming that his sister, or whoever the sister Abigail person was.
Was the spawn of Satan.
Was the spawn of Satan. And so they're going to handle that business in a wrestling ring. It's like, I totally get, like, you know, a guy like Shibata gets in there. And he just, you know, he's just a stiff worker. It's like you're getting in there as part of competition.
Yes.
As part of sport to fight.
Yeah.
And granted, it's all predetermined. These guys are performing their asses off and they're working stiff. I get that. But then to have like this dude who's like a spawn of Satan, I've got the powers of Satan. This is weird.
I know.
JT, a.k.a. one of the Dalton boys. Random question of the day for you guys. Vince wakes up from his famous naps. Oh, I'm up now. Oh, and says, I want to have a Raw versus SmackDown basketball game. Which five superstars do you pick on to be? Do you pick to be on the basketball team? Steve will pick for SmackDown and Larson picks for Raw. P.S. Larson, since you're a sneaker guy, what is your favorite all-time shoe? He says his is the Jordan 11.
Yeah. Mine is the Jordan 6, the playoff colorway, the black ones.
All right.
Those are the best shoes ever.
Good, good, good.
So I pick for Raw.
Yeah, you pick for Raw. Basketball. I think AJ's going to run my point. AJ's the point guard. Cena's the 3. He's power forward. But he's like point forward.
Isn't power forward the 4?
No, what did I say? Oh,
shooting guard.
Shooting guard. No. Shooting guard's 2. Small forward.
So 3, yeah.
He's small forward, but he can play 3-4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to have a D and 3, 4?
Wait, am I going to what?
Have a power forward who can stretch the floor.
That's Baron. Hit threes. That's Baron.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Baron can hit a 3.
So who's going to be your center if Baron's your 4?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, I know. I was thinking there's another big man on the roster. Is there another big man on the roster?
There's Harper.
But I don't think Harper's center.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Harper's definitely
center. I'm going to have Braun as my center.
I still need a 2.
Oh, yeah.
I want Dean. Dean can't play basketball. Dean's like 6-man, maybe. Are you kidding me?
Dean's your hustle guy off the bench.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dolph is my 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Braun's my center.
Okay.
For my 4, for the power forward.
It'd be Kofi. I mean, I'm sorry, Big E.
He's not very tall, though.
You don't think so?
He's the same height as Kofi.
Oh, my God.
Braun's my 4.
Oh, Roman. Wait, Braun's your 4?
Sorry, no, my center. Sorry.
Roman's got to be your 4.
Roman's going to be my like LeBron-esque 3.
Yeah.
The guy that can out-muscle everybody.
Your point forward. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Faster and stronger than everybody else at the position.
That's why I put Cena there.
I'm going to have... I'm going to have TJ Perkins as my 2.
Oh, TJ should be your 1. Are you kidding me?
Well, I was going to have Kofi at the point.
Okay, all right.
So Kofi runs the point.
All right, that's good.
TJP.
And he's older, too. That's good. You always want an older point guard.
TJP is going to be my shooting guard.
Okay.
Roman's my point forward.
Point forward, yeah.
Braun's my center. I need my...
You still need a true 3.
I do have a true 3.
Who, Roman?
Roman.
Who's 4?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, okay. So you still need a power forward.
Titus.
That's actually pretty good.
Titus. Yeah, he's my power forward.
That's really good. You're good. I win. Freddie Adelaide Garcia. First-time patron here. Thank you, Freddie. My question is a little bit random. What is your guilty pleasure in all of pro wrestling? It could be a superstar, a gimmick, a pay-per-view, a tire, anything. Thanks and keep up the good work. What's your guilty pleasure? Isn't pro wrestling in general guilty pleasure?
Yeah, very much so.
Trying to think of a guilty pleasure. Like, what's a guilty pleasure within a guilty pleasure?
I mean, that's essentially what our Going In Raw official wrestlers are.
Yeah,
the wrestlers we like that really have,
like Silas Young.
Yeah, there's no reason that
he's
totally
really a guilty
like him.
Pleasure. Yeah.
That's a good answer.
The Ring of Honor's top prospect tournament, which is like the fucking worst.
Dustin,
oh, man.
Do you guys think the idea of the returning / debuting superstar always picking up the win is overdone and stale?
Well, otherwise you're in WCW territory.
Yeah, you get jobbed out. Yeah. You got Lenny Omega debuting and getting jobbed out for 4 straight matches.
No, I don't think it's stale. I think that's how you build up a new guy.
Yep.
The fourth to last real man, Barry McCockiner. Is that your real name, Barry? I don't know. My question is, if you can go back in time and attend any WrestleMania, which one would it be and why? Thanks for watching the show and listening on podcast is one of the highlights of my day.
Oh, it's supposed to be a comma between thanks and watching. Thanks, okay, watching the show.
Okay. Go back in time. Any WrestleMania. Attend any of them.
I think in terms of pure history and spectacle, WrestleMania 3.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
But then you have
to sit there through all that slow-ass wrestling.
I know, but I mean, it's still, I think still the most attended WrestleMania.
I'd go to 14. That pop when Austin comes out, it's got to be insane.
Like when he won.
When he won. Like the glass breaking to see that live, which I think we did see. back in the day.
Oh, I did.
We saw a Raw or two.
The first Raw I went to was in UC Davis, and Austin came out to close the show with a promo.
Right. Yeah, I would say that.
I'm gonna say 17.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think that generally is regarded top to bottom as the best Mania, or at least one of them. I just remember, for that.
Remember those old Raws where like everybody had a sign?
Yeah.
It was just fever.
It was hard to see sometimes.
Yeah. Kobe Resenthal.
If WrestleMania will be my first wrestling event, should I skip NXT so I won't be disappointed with the wrestling level at Mania? No, they're different.
It's just a completely different
experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go to NXT to enjoy the in-ring product. Mm-hmm. Go to WrestleMania to enjoy the spectacle of it all.
And we're going to see a lot of wrestling that weekend.
Oh, yes.
Like, we've got a bunch of shows lined up.
Yes, we do.
And they're all their own thing, you know? It's like we weren't going to take in, like, a Rev Pro and a Progress show because there's some crossover there.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to take in, I think, what are we going to take in? Progress.
WCPW, NXT, Mania and Raw.
Mania and Raw, yeah. Let's see here. Randy, who will have the best Mania entrances?
Well, Bray is going to have something special.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be cool if they had Randy ride in on a giant snake.
Oh, that'd be neat. Yeah, like an anaconda. Like a mechanical one or a real one?
Well, it'd have to be a mechanical one.
Yeah.
Well, because an anaconda, they're constrictors. They're not, you need like a viper, like a giant viper. That he can ride in on.
Like, would it be like computer generated so only the people at home are watching?
No. It'd be more there. Huge animatronic snake.
That would look terrible.
I don't care. I want to see it.
I want another Terminator entrance.
No, that was terrible.
I want Triple H to continue his Terminator theme from a couple of years ago when he was Terminator Hunter?
But also Terminator?
Also Terminator?
It's like Blade Runner.
Yeah. Blade Runner movie's coming up.
Maybe I know.
A Blade Runner entrance.
That'd be cool.
That'd be really neat.
Like, most people would not get it, though.
It'd just be
Triple
really...
Triple H came out as Deckard.
It'd be really, like, solid. It'd be really sorrowful.
They'd have to have, some fake rain.
Yeah, exactly.
Drop all over the stadium.
Some neon.
Yeah.
Lots of neon.
Yeah.
Let's see. What other entrances? Big entrances are going to happen. Bailey, you think I could do like extra?
Oh, that
blow
that
up guys?
Place is going to be filled with
balloons falling from the sky.
Yeah,
maybe
especially if she wins. Especially,
I want to see Scarlett. I mean Charlotte with like a skull mask because she's the queen.
Mm-hmm.
But queens like kill people,
not necessarily.
Yeah, she comes out as like a serial killer.
It's a new angle.
Like wearing a trench coat. It's
an interesting time to debut a new gimmick.
I want to see Silas Young come down reading a book about how to wrestle.
And just get into the ring and throwing up pork chops. Wasn't that what his tweet was about?
I think so. Do the thing where he springboard. Bleh,
yeah. Bleh.
As he springboard.
Just pukes pork chop everywhere.
Oh, God. And saliva's everywhere. He had that glob of saliva in his
head. Oh, it was down on his cheek. That was so gross.
Oh, I love Silas Young. Man. He's the best. We have some video questions.
We do.
Let's throw to these guys.
First from Alexander Corrente.
Man, I fucked up his postcard. He sent on a postcard, and apparently I wrote Andrew. I wrote Andrew on
That's
it.
That's not his name.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna send him like five postcards with all different A names. None of them are gonna be Alexander.
Okay.
I want to do that. Hey, let's see what Alexander has to say.
Hey guys, question about Sanity. Like Evolution in the past, holding all the gold on Raw. What are the odds that each member of Sanity holds a championship on NXT at the same time? I don't think the odds are that great. I don't think they do that. But I think if the right storytelling goes behind that, I think that could be a really great way to make NXT feel different and really damn entertaining. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thank you, Alexander.
Thank you, Andrew. He says, what are the odds Sanity has all the NXT belts at once? I don't know how good I agree with him. I don't know how good the odds are, but it would be amazing. I think storyline would be really cool for NXT, for Sanity to take over NXT for a short period of time.
There's a good chance Nikki Cross will get the NXT women's title.
There's
a very good chance that Damo and Alexander Wolf can maybe get the NXT tag titles. I don't think there's a very good chance that Eric Young's going to get the NXT world title, no.
Really? You think that scene is too crowded?
I think they're going to be... I think the odds of Sanity being brought up before that could happen are much greater than him winning the belt.
They're so polished.
I know.
They are so perfect. They are already so perfect.
I know.
It's great. You're probably right about that. Let's see here. Patrick Sparks has a question. Let's see what Patrick has to say.
Got to thinking over the past week. Heel heat, very important in the WWE and in the wrestling business altogether. Top heel for a male single superstar, in my opinion, Triple H. He's just a dick. the Reign of Terror, burying everybody from Kane, RVD, Orton. That's terrible. He's just a dick, again. The WrestleMania 15 Corporation turn, crazy. The entire CM Punk thing, again, being a dick. Top heel for singles male wrestler, in my opinion. Top heels for a tag team, the Dudleys in ECW. They're just assholes. And Bubba Ray said it himself in the ECW thing I was watching over the weekend. They're scumbags. They're just pure scumbags, waste of life. Shitheads. They broke Beulah's neck, and she didn't show up until One Night Stand. And the Philly crowd, or wherever the fuck they were, wanted to fucking kill them. They wanted them dead for breaking Beulah's neck. There was a couple other things that they did that they wanted to kill him for. Like the heat wave incidents one. But, with that being said, I haven't been able to come up with a top heel for a woman. Or a woman wrestler that genuinely gets heel fucking heat because she's just being a fucking bitch. Just doing heel things. What do you guys think? Thanks, friendos.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick. Man.
So he goes down, lists dominant heels, male singles competitors, tag teams. But he's having a hard time finding
China.
There you go.
China.
Yeah.
Dominant heel. I mean, eventually she was a face also.
Yeah.
But she was a dominant heel for a while.
Yeah.
CJ Reebley has a question. Let's see what CJ has to say.
Hey, friendo, CJ here. Take a failed gimmick that you think could have worked and give it to the superstar who could have made it work. All right, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thank you, CJ.
Thank you, CJ.
This is a tough one.
Yeah, I know.
Usually a gimmick fails because it's terrible. Every once in a while, a gimmick fails just because it's not a right match between the talent.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if anybody could pull off the Shockmaster. It's just a bad gimmick.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or the Kiss Demon.
Yeah.
Bad gimmick.
Yeah.
Or the Yeti. Bad gimmick.
Mm-hmm. The Kiss Demon. That's kind of funny.
Like, even if you put John Cena in the Kiss Demon makeup, it's still going to be lame.
Give me some more failed gimmicks, though. I'm trying to think of some more failed Okay, so what exactly was Justin Credible's gimmick? Aldo Montoya? What was he, the fighting machine?
No, that was Kama, the ultimate fighting machine.
What was Aldo Montoya?
But it was something having to do with fighting.
Like the Puerto Rican...
Man of War.
Man of War.
That's what it was. Portuguese Man of War.
Portuguese Man of War. That's a cool name. That's a cool gimmick. Put it on a guy who looks like he's actually a man of war. Man of war or man o' war?
Man o' war.
Man o' war?
Like the...
Is it one word or o with a apostrophe?
I think it's hyphenated.
Oh, man dash o
yeah,
dash
I so.
War?
I think so.
Yeah, that could work. Like, okay, think about this. Aldo and Montoya, the Men of War... And it's the Authors of Pain. They look like Men of War. But is a Man of War? Can we explain this, please? What is a Man of War?
I think Man... Isn't it like a... I thought a Man of War is like a jellyfish.
Really?
I thought so. Yeah. Portuguese Man of War. It's like a jellyfish.
Oh,
so you're right.
Oh, that's not a good gimmick.
So maybe I'm getting that confused. No. The Portuguese Man of War.
That doesn't make any sense. He was a jellyfish? You can't get that gimmick over anybody. I had no idea that a man of war was a jellyfish.
But, well, that's kind of the Portuguese man of war is also known as a floating terror.
Mm.
That's scary to be in the ocean with a floating terror.
Well, I mean, all right, I know what a terror is. Like, what does he do?
Well, they're like jellyfish. They sting.
What's man of war's gimmick? Oh, I got you. Okay.
It's a great name for a jellyfish.
Put that one on Sting.
There you go.
Next video question. Jason the Cabbie, our old friendo. Let's see what Jason has to say.
Good morning, Steve, Larson, friendos everywhere. It's your Empire Filth Ambassador, Jason the Cabbie. As we head into WrestleMania weekend, it's become rather apparent that the WWE has become rather fond of multi-man matches. We have at least two triple threats coming into the Raw set of things. One that we know of with Alexa Bliss's title defense, possibly more, and at least one coming out of NXT with the triple threat elimination tag team match. Is it just lazy and uncreative booking, or are they really trying to squeeze everyone they can into things?
Thanks, Jason. He's asking, why are there so many multi-man matches at Mania?
Yeah.
Everybody guys get paid.
You know, because I remember hearing that historically speaking, Vince was averse to having too many multi-person matches at Mania. Now it seems like a vast majority of the matches have, you know, more than two participants for a singles match and four for a tag match.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And even like the top tag team in the entire company are hosting.
I know.
You know? It's just there's a lot. They recently, you know, with the brand split, they brought on a bunch of people. They had to figure out new places for people.
As you said, it's just to get as many people on the card as possible.
Anyways, that's it for Dirt Sheet. Till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.